after the 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock hour. Wow, that's a great way to start. What time is it? Is it the show over yet? My goodness. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And we got a good poll question going today. And of course, anytime I do these questions, I ask kind of an open-ended question, and I put a few options in there. It is like a 99% chance that the Hooligans are going to go other, right in their own option, because you guys are so much smarter than I am. But nonetheless, it is available at thewholeshow.com, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. And a lot is being discussed about Vic Fangio this week, as it should be, Pat Shurmur and company. So I want to know the answer to this. What has been Vic Fangio's biggest downfall as a head coach this season? And I tried to summarize as best I could some of the larger issues for Victor. Clock management, naming Teddy over Drew as the starter to begin the season, play calling, which again, I know Pat Shurmur calls the plays, but you can override that. So go to the next option. Giving Pat Shurmur so much control on offense, in-game decision-making, challenging plays, when to and not to go for it on fourth down or kicking a field goal, that kind of stuff, or other. Let's see what the Hooligans have to say here. And again, go to thewholeshow.com to vote, and we'll bust into this today. All right, well, clock management was leading today, earlier today. Surprisingly, naming Teddy over Drew was last place, and you guys are way off base there. I'm sorry, but I'm going back all in on this. Do I think Drew Lock is a franchise quarterback? I'm going to say no. If I'm a betting man, no. I think he can start in this league randomly, like Teddy Bridgewater. They're probably the same. But my whole point of that is who had a better shot to be your franchise guy? That's Drew Lock. Okay, 36%. Here's what's winning. 36% of the Hooligans say giving Pat Shurmur so much control on offense. Second is now clock management. 13% is other. When I don't put other in there, Hooligans come at me. Where's the other option? Where's the all of the above option? No, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you not to do all of the above. Name the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of why is Vic Fangio a bad coach, or why did he fail this year? Fourth place is in-game decision-making, play calling, and the last one you guys have on here is naming Teddy over Drew as the starter to begin the season. Interesting. Again, go to thewholeshow.com to vote on that. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. And I want to get into that throughout the course of the day today. Angel's in studio today. Good to see you, man. You're back at it.
It's been a minute.
It's been. You went to Alabama to watch Alabama CSU play, and then you ended up watching. Did you end up going?
Yeah, we went. They ended up playing Davidson, same school that Steph Curry went to.
They're a good team. Davidson's a great team.
It was fun, though. College basketball is always good. So,
I mean, to go to a college basketball game and tell me you're not having a good time. I mean, if it's a really bad team, I can get it and stuff. But there's some great stuff happening in the world of college basketball. But we got to, what did you watch last night between these two? Monday Night Football with Big Ben, maybe his last home game, sure seems like it, with Pittsburgh, or Nuggets-Dallas?
I was kind of flipping through both. I started my afternoon binging a show that was finishing up, and then I was just flipping back and forth. I did want to see Big Ben and see how he went out, because my granddad's a huge Steelers fan. So Big Ben was actually one of the first NFL players I ever knew, just because the name. So that was kind of cool moment. He's, you know, one of those older quarterbacks that won't be with us in the NFL that much longer. So,
no, and they avoided elimination last night, but they still need a couple of things, quite a few things, to go right. We're going to go over the standings in the NFL playoff picture right now. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I'm going to say no right now. My initial say is no.
Well, and you know I don't know if you know my philosophy on the Hall of Fame. Because I don't think we should have first ballot, second ballot, third ballot. The question is he a Hall of Famer or not? And if you have to hesitate, he's not. But is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't believe in the whole first ballot thing. I think that if you're a Hall of Famer, you don't get better after you've retired. And well, we could only limit so many people. None of that works for me. And I know they want to try to make it a selling point, right? So every year they have 8 to 9 guys that are in the Hall of Fame. So it's something we can market. If we're just throwing everybody in whenever they're eligible, then we're not going to have 9 buildup. I understand where they're coming from. It's all about money with the NFL. But the question to me is, you know, is he a Hall of Famer? I'm not talking ballots. I don't know if he's first ballot. And that's where we are. But yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, look, he doesn't look like this quarterback anymore. That's 5th all-time in yards, 8th all-time in touchdowns, 5th all-time in completions, and 2 Super Bowls. He doesn't look like that quarterback anymore. So I think sometimes we always want to see guys go out, like Tom Brady's probably going to go out, or Rodgers, or, well, Peyton Manning went out of the Super Bowl. So sometimes when you don't go out that way, like Elway, we just kind of, it fizzles, so it's not as fresh in your mind that, oh, this guy was actually pretty damn good. He was. He was ridiculously good in that stretch when they were winning Super Bowls. And he stuck with this Pittsburgh team. I know he had some controversy and things throughout his career, but ultimately, when you think of Steelers, you now do throw Ben. I mean, there's a lot of great Steelers. A lot of great Steelers over the years. And now Ben Roethlisberger is part of that story. You know, I've always been told, is he a Hall of Famer or even a team Hall of Famer? Can you tell the story of the Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger? And the answer is no. You can't tell the story of Big Ben, the Steelers story, without Big Ben. The Hall of Fame? Yeah, I mean, Big Ben, that name, this gigantic bodied quarterback that was so hard to bring down and had a pretty damn good arm, could actually move surprisingly well a few years ago. He has a great, he's a different character in the NFL, like a unique style of quarterback. I saw this thing on Pro Football Network this morning. Follow them on Twitter. How would you rank the careers of these 3 quarterbacks, 1 through 3, from the 2004 draft? Obviously, you have Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, and Philip Rivers in there. Now, Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, I've had several debates about those two guys, whether they're Hall of Famers or not. And I have actually changed my stance on Philip Rivers. I used to argue that Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli. I still feel that way. But I used to say Philip's a Hall of Famer and Eli's not. I actually don't think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. I don't think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. He has 2 Super Bowls. Eli kind of came on late in those games, and they did have a pretty good defense. They were 9-7 and 8-8, I think, the 2 years they won those Super Bowls. And everyone said, well, he out-dueled Tom Brady. He didn't beat Tom Brady. The Giants' defense beat Tom Brady. How would you rank them? I'd go Big Ben number 1.
I'd agree there. I would probably put Eli over Philip Rivers.
I get that
the Super Bowls gives him the edge.
The Super Bowls means so much. And I understand that. I do get that. But that was a really good draft class. All 3 of those guys probably, they at least deserve to have the Hall of Fame talk. I just never looked at Eli like I look at elites. I honestly think that we abuse the great talk and the Hall of Fame talk.
Well, I heard a conversation on the radio last week about the NFL Hall of Fame or any Hall of Fame is, it's too inclusive. Like, it should be a very specific elite. Like, if you're top 10, top 5.
Yeah, we got to get away from this.
If everyone's getting in, it doesn't make it special. It's
you can't just be a Pro Bowler. Right. You can't be I've made it to a couple of Pro Bowls. I used to argue this, and, you know, I always went back and forth on it. But Terrell Davis, I always had a hard time, even though I'm a TD guy. You know, I think longevity is a big thing in the NFL. And if you're going to do it for 5 years at a very high level, the thing is he did it at the highest of levels in 5 years. You know, he broke the 2,000-yard mark. He was season MVP. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He ran for it. He still leads the Broncos as far as the best running backs go. So, I mean, he deserves it. I'm not going to go back on that now. He deserves it. But we have to tighten up this conversation. So I guess then we go back to it. Is Ben Roethlisberger one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? And it should be, if the answer is no, should he not be in the Hall of Fame? Am I talking myself out of Ben Roethlisberger being a Hall of Famer? I feel like I am.
It's difficult to think because you hear the name Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben. There's so much legacy and memories.
Well, he's got
that
the numbers and the titles to back it up.
But do we need to have him in the Hall of Fame to solidify that claim.
Essentially, yes, because that's where we are with the Hall of Fame. I wish, and it's too late now, but should the NFL Hall of Fame be stricter? Should we be tighter? And I think the answers should be yes. I think it's hard to go back on that now, though. Because if we start getting strict now, you're going to go back in the day and go, well, then how did that guy get in? How did that guy get in and he can't get in? The question should always be, when a guy retires and becomes eligible for the Hall of Fame, was he one of the greatest? And I know you're going to run out of saying one of the greatest, but you could ultimately get to 20 quarterbacks and say one of the greatest. We've always had a debate. When I grew up in the 90s, there was about four or five guys that were in that list. You know, you had your Joe Montana, Steve Youngs, John Elways, Dan Marinos. Those were those guys. And then the older guys, obviously, Bart with Starr and with Johnny Unitas, with those guys, they were thrown in that mix, kind of. But it was really the late 80s and the 90s that you started to see, okay, these quarterbacks are the greatest. And so there was like a group of five. Now it feels like it's more like 10 or so, right? Because you definitely threw Tom Brady, Peyton Manning are in that mix. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees in that mix. Patrick Mahomes will be in that mix someday. There's a lot of solid quarterbacks now. So, if you get to 20 or 30, that's fine. But that should be the criteria. Are you one of the best to ever do it? And if the answer is no, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Is Big Ben in the same class as John Elway? His hero, by the way. Joe Montana, Steve Young, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Is he in the same class as those guys? And the answer is no. I think I just talked myself out of this. I seriously did. I mean, I looked at the stats and he's there and all the numbers. But we also have to remember this. The NFL has changed so much. Would Big Ben have had these numbers, be top 10 in all three of the three biggest categories for a quarterback? Would he be top 10 if he played in the 90s? The NFL changed a lot. You know, he got in the league. What year did he get in the league? 2002. He was young when he won his first Super Bowl. Angel's gonna efforting music. Angel's gonna look for that. We're gonna see if we can figure that out because I don't remember. Oh, 2004. The draft of 2004.
And then 2004 NFL draft.
And then they won it in 2005, right?
It was 5 or 6.
So the NFL at that point was already in. I mean, I remember being at UNC in 2005, and I did a speech. And obviously, you know me, I'm doing a sports talk speech. My speech was talking about the NFL rule changes and pass interference and how you're not able to bump a receiver down the field anymore. You got to let go after 5 yards. And it used to be you could bump until the ball was in the air. Change that. Once you change that, it got much easier for a receiver to get separation from a cornerback. And I do think that Peyton Manning, even Tom Brady, even Ben Roethlisberger, all were able to yield some of the benefits from that. Now, I'm not taking anything away from those guys. Tom Brady would have done the same thing in the 90s. Peyton Manning, I think, would have done the same thing in the 90s. Big Ben, I don't know. What do you guys think? 19 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break when we come back. Let's talk about the Nuggets. Uh-oh, time for them. They lose to the Mavericks. Joker's begging for help, man. He's begging for help. We're also going to have CSU head men's basketball coach Nico Medved on the show. They play Air Force tonight, knock on wood, and they're finally their first Mountain West game. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
If you want Nuggets insight, then you want The Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Twenty-four minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I was listening to Clark and the Coach. They do a fantastic job, by the way, talking preps. They mix in a little college once in a while, too, because I know Coach Bruce Dick has a great relationship with so many of the college coaches in the area. And we were talking, you know, we call it the crossover, right? They, when they're leaving, I'm coming in to do the show. And, of course, I'm seeing Coach on the way out. It's like, hey, we got to go catch a game together at CSU sometime. And he's like, oh, let's make it happen. You know how cool that would be to sit down with a legendary coach like Bruce Dick and watch a basketball game? I mean, that would be cool. So, Coach, I'm in. Let's make it happen. Let's become best friends. Let's do it. Let's get to a CSU game at some point.
It's like hanging out with Jerry at a UNC game, too.
Pretty much, man. I mean, you get all these knowledgeable guys that know their stuff, and you could sit down and just pick their brain. I would have been a good defensive player for you, Coach Dick. I would have been, man. I would have played great defense for you. But I'm 35, so apparently that ship has sailed. At least according to my knees.
Could have gone pro.
Yeah, I could have.
You could be the help that the Nuggets need right now.
Dude, I should try out, man. I'm ready to try out.
I saw you tweeted at George Karl, didn't you?
I always tweeted George Karl.
There you go.
Which one did I tweet at this time?
Something about he needs to come help.
He should be the. Well, and that's no knock against my guy Popeye Jones. I love me some Popeye Jones, man. We're going to try to get him on the show. He's 1-1 as the Nuggets head coach with Malone sidelined, of course. This is the problem. You have a lot of neat players. You know, you have the Faku Campazos, who was actually a candidate for my Player of the Week presented by Red Wing Shoes. You have the Austin Rivers that maybe is going to go off on a random night for you. You got Will Barton, who's been doing that his whole career. Those are all great, and as long as you have your stable force. And Joker is certainly a stable force, but you can't, especially now, you can't survive with just one stabilizing force. And watching these past, now I know they're 3-1 in their last four games, so they're looking better. They're facing some rough teams too, but got the Jazz coming up tomorrow. You have to be able to have consistent help. And right now, this whole, that's the beauty of our team any given night. It could be Faku, it could be Will, it could be Gordon, it could be Bones Highland coming in. That's neat when you have Joker and Jamal for sure going to throw in between the two of them, you know, 38, 40 points or something like that.
Well, and having half your bench missing for COVID every other day and you got to sign guys off the street.
It's true, and I agree with that. But this has been going on all season, and they're a 500 team because of that. You know, and even when Porter was there, he wasn't that guy necessarily. Now, it's alleged that he was battling a back injury all season and then finally got bad enough where they had to shut him down and do surgery. And by the way, Nuggets media, stop tweeting out all these Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. dunks and shots and stuff, because all it does is just make me sad. Because I'm just like, maybe they're coming back. And then they'll tweet the bottom, don't get excited by this, though, idiots. And then they're not that bad about it. But it's like, hey, look, Jamal's ready, dunks it. And then someone will comment, they'll comment back and be like, yeah, no, he's not coming back for a while. So we just posted that for likes and clicks. 28 minutes after the hour, the Colorado State Rams have not played a basketball game since December 11th. And that was against Mississippi State. They are set to go for their first Mountain West game of the season, finally, tonight, against the second youngest team in the nation in Air Force. We're going to talk to CSU head coach Nico Medved about that next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't know if that's a coincidence, Angel, but that just happens to be who we have on the program right now on our First Advantage Hotline. Joining us now, CSU men's head basketball coach Nico Medved. Coach, my friend, it's always great to catch up with you. It feels like you guys haven't played basketball in like 77 years now, man. I mean, we're ready. We're chomping at the bit to see some basketball from this Rams team.
Man, try being us. That's how it feels. It feels like it's been a long time, and finally, you know, it felt better as we got back out on the practice court and tried to get back into a rhythm there. You can kind of see the finish line, and finally, Brady, tonight we get to get back out there and get after it, and I know the guys are looking forward to it, and I am as well.
I think I've said this several times. Hey, they're getting ready to start Mountain West play. And then, of course, we have something going on. But that's what we believe is ready to go. Rams getting set to start Mountain West play against a very young team in Air Force. And we'll talk about that in a moment, Coach. But right, off since December 11th. That was the last time out we've seen this team. And talk to us about the struggles. I mean, I know this isn't necessarily new because you guys went through this stuff. And everybody went through this stuff in 2020. And a lot of us kind of thought maybe we were done with that, but here we are again. Talk to us what that's been like, especially with just how hot this basketball team has been.
Well, it's obviously disappointing. I mean, like I said, it's the good and bad news is we've done this before, right? And
yeah.
and so our guys understand what that's about and controlling the controllables. I did think we were all in such a great place, heading into December and with everything. And then, yeah, everybody just kind of got hit with a ton of bricks and we got blindsided. That's just really sort of what happened. And then obviously as you're looking around the country, you're seeing a lot of, other teams and other sports really go through the same thing. But, obviously there was a huge level of disappointment, but I think a couple things that work in our guys' favor are, one, last year we didn't even really get a non-conference. At least our guys had the ability to play the majority of our non-conference schedule. Unfortunately for us, we had a lot of success. So I think obviously we feel a lot better going into Mountain West play, than we did last year. And then we've got a veteran group, guys who obviously are disappointed, but they know what this is. Again, they control what they can control and they've had a tremendous attitude. And, we're just excited to get back out there and play. And, none of this is easy, but we're not alone and we've just got to worry about ourselves. And this team will fight its way back. I have no doubt.
CSU head coach Nico Medved joining us. And I love that you mentioned the depth of this team because, 10 games, we have seen so much in those 10 games from you guys, coach. You'll be down or the comeback kids. You continue that mantra. I never count. You guys could be down by 300, I'm pretty sure. And I'm not going to count you out, man. This team just continues to battle back. And I think a lot of that, your leadership, your older leaders, but the depth on this basketball team, it does feel like you can just continue to fire off unique players at whatever matchup you guys are dealing with on a nightly basis.
Yeah, it's like I had mentioned before the season, every team's a little bit different. And I really liked our depth going into this year. You never know how that was going to play out. But so far it's something our team has really embraced and it makes practice really, really competitive. But we got a group of guys who's all about winning and all about the team and embracing their roles. And yeah, in several of these games, it's really, really sparked us when we've gone to our bench and it's allowed us to play different kinds of lineups and hopefully build a lot of confidence in a lot of our guys. And I'm hopeful that will serve us well here as we're getting ready to start Mountain West play.
Now, off, as we talked about, since December 11th, however, there's been some interesting things going on. You don't play in a few games the last few weeks, and yet you're moving up in the AP Top 25. You guys are sitting at 20. In the Coaches Bowl, you're sitting at 19. So I know it's not ideal, and it's frustrating, but hey, for not playing, you guys continue to just kind of move up the rankings there.
It is kind of funny how that's worked, and I know guys get a chuckle out of that. But like you just mentioned before, the one thing about these guys, they'd rather be playing than moving up in the polls, not playing. And we'd rather do it that way. But I think we talk to our guys. I think that there's really three parts to every season. You've got your non-conference slate, which we just finished. Then you get ready to start conference play. Everybody starts 0-0, and then hopefully you earn postseason. And so we're getting ready to start a new part of our season. And also you take a time to reflect on the non-conference. And I think our guys should feel pretty dang good about what they did and what they accomplished and, tackling the schedule and the expectations and all that go along with it. And I thought they've handled that beautifully. And, they've earned the position that they're in right now. And I think they should feel good about that. But they're a mature enough group to do that and also realize, all right, that doesn't mean anything. We're getting ready to start, conference play here and, it's 0-0 and we got to roll our sleeves up and get back to work. But no, it feels pretty good to be in the position that we're in. I'm really proud of our guys.
Yeah, it's a great group, Coach, no question. And you mentioned that non-conference schedule. I mean, so many games we circled when we first got the schedule, when we started looking at it, the Oral Roberts down there, and obviously in the Paradise Jam with Creighton, you saw St. Mary's, Mississippi State. So many great tests and so many unique contests as far as how they turned out. I mean, sometimes you kind of ran the table against teams that were expected to go toe-to-toe, and then needed some comebacks to get over those. Of course, Mississippi State that last time out, that was one of those games. I mean, it feels like talking about a game, you know, very long time ago, but this is one of those games.
Season, yeah.
David Roddy does his thing, but as you mentioned, there's just so many different contributors. A guy like Deshaun Thomas, he doesn't even need a point to be a big-time contributor. His defense, his aggressiveness has really shown through this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's college basketball, and you're going to play against so many different styles. Every game stands on its own, poses a unique set of challenges, and you have to embrace all that, you know, in order to win. And our guys do. I think, again, having a veteran group, they've kind of seen it all. They've been through it. They have a tremendous amount of confidence in each other and in what we're doing, and they don't get too up and they don't get too down. And I think that's really been the secret sauce is, they just stay with it no matter what. And, you know, the other thing, we've been a team that's been able to score in bunches. And so we're able to go on runs with our ability to put the ball in the basket. And that's allowed us to come back as well. But more than anything, Brady, it's just their competitive spirit. They're such a competitive group. They love to play. They never quit. That's the way they practice every day. And it's building those habits and the character of who they are that really allows us to come back in these games and give ourselves a chance to win.
Coach, you can always tell when you have a disciplined basketball team. I mean, yeah, there's ebbs and flows of every game. You're going to see that. As you've told us a million times, that's the game of basketball. But can you calm down when it's needed most? And can you play clean basketball? You guys are ranked 17th nationally in fewest turnovers and then fourth in the assist-to-turnover ratio, which I know Isaiah Stevens is just so dominant in that category, which blows me away in some of those games. But what does that mean to you? I know there's amazing stats that this team continues to fill up on a nightly basis, but when you look at that, I mean, that's got to be a coach's best dream, right? I mean, not turning the ball over.
Yeah, I think for us, you know, we knew one of our charges going into this year, if we wanted to take the next step on the offensive end, it was going to start with taking better care of the ball. I mean, that was something we didn't do last year oftentimes, and it came back to bite us. And it's something our guys really took to heart, and they've gone out there intentionally, and they've done it. And obviously it starts with our point guard. It starts with Isaiah, but I think that permeates into the rest of the team. And, you know, the trick for us is I want an aggressive team on offense. We want to play fast when we can. We want to play with pace. We want guys trying to make plays, not, you know, playing conservative. And to be able to do that and still not turn the ball over is difficult to do. But that's what these guys have accomplished. And when you got a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket, I think when you look inside the numbers, there you see it. You know, we're getting shots in every possession. We're sharing the ball. And we got a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket. And that's a recipe for good things to happen. And that's the way we've played so far.
Talking to CSU head coach Nico Bedved. And again, Coach, we know it's game day, and we appreciate you jumping on with us here. Always love your insight. Always love talking basketball with you. When you look at this Air Force team, it's a young team, but I think they're surprising a lot of people so far with the way their non-conference schedule went. But the second youngest team in the nation. They have, 11 freshmen, some really good players too, but for the most part, a very young team. They look at you guys, maybe they're too young to realize we're going up against the top 20 team. So is there any kind of worry factor there where maybe this team's kind of, you know, they don't realize what kind of team CSU is just yet?
Oh, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Joe Scott and Air Force, and they are better. I mean, you watch them, they're better. They're tougher. They're a lot better on the defensive end, I think, than they were. They really compete. You can tell they've got great chemistry. And, you know, this is a team that just beat Utah State, you know, the other night. And So I have a ton of respect for the way they play. Joe Scott's a terrific coach. He's a tough-minded guy. You can see his personality is permeated into his team. And, yeah, I mean, the one thing you know about Everett, they're going to come in here with no fear, and they're going to fight for 40 minutes. And, obviously, they play a unique style on both ends, offensively and defensively. And I think what I've really noticed from them, they've always do what they do offensively and really execute, but they're really, really improved on the defensive end, and they play with a lot more physicality and connectedness. And so it's going to be a difficult game tonight, you know, for us. And people ask, you know, you're worried about the layoff. Well, my number one fear is, or not fear, but my number one concern is Air Force.
Yeah.
Whether we had been, you know, no pause or pause. And then obviously you factor in that we haven't played in a while. That's a real challenge for us. But you know what? That's what this team is about, is accepting challenges, and we know that's what it's going to be, and we'll get Air Force's best shot, but we're looking forward to going out there and giving them ours.
Coach, what is that like? We've had a lot of listeners ask. Obviously, in a regular time frame, injuries happen, and you know, you'll be aware of what not a few days before, whatever. But in this day and age, even if a team, you know, is scheduled to play or something, you guys are constantly on edge waiting for something. I mean, we're talking about last night to see you in Oregon rescheduled for their second time, and then they had to postpone again before that game. So what is that like for you? Because we know so much goes into preparing for a basketball game, both physically and mentally.
It's bizarre. I mean, it's really too bad that we've almost become numb to some of it, you know, where it's just, well, you know, and I hate that. But it's out of your control, you know, right now. And I think we just go about our business and prepare, looking at what's in front of us. And we're supposed to play Air Force tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got our walkthrough, and we're going to do what we do. And if somehow somebody tells us before the game is not going to be played, well, then we move on to what's next. And I think that's really all you can do. And of course it's frustrating, and it's frustrating for all of us as fans and coaches. Imagine being the players, you know, who work so hard and want to play. And it's a really difficult time. And obviously the other challenge, Brady, is just this year, you know, there were not contingency plans for scheduling with this, you know, and last year there was. And I think that's created a whole new set of challenges. But I think the good news is we did get through non-conference play for the most part, you know, across the country. And I think that puts us in good position. And I'm holding out hope that as a couple weeks go by, we're going to settle in and we're going to get through a lot of this COVID business. And hopefully as we settle into the end of the month and into February and obviously into March Madness, we're back on our feet and we're playing hoops, and we're going to have a great conference season and a great great NCAA tournament.
I agree with you, Coach. I think we're going to get through this sooner rather than later, and we'll be just regular sailing through this basketball season. It is such a magical environment at Moby Arena, isn't it? I mean, my goodness, just getting a chance. I was there when the last time I was there, Coach, was when the students were home. I mean, and it was still just like this magical environment. What's that like for you guys? I mean, to just play and to see it continue to grow too. Moby Madness is alive and well.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I, you know, I reflect back to the last time we were in here, you know, against St. Mary's at home and, you know, one of the last times where we had a huge crowd, and there were students waiting outside for tickets. Mm. And that's a lot of fun, you know, to see that place rocking and the support from our community coming out and cheering these guys on. And they obviously deserve it. And so Moby's a great place. It's a great place in the full. And so I'm really looking forward to getting back out there again and having our fans. And I know our students aren't here yet, but our fans have really come out to support us, and it makes it really special. And so I think Moby's a great place. It's a credit to our guys, you know, for the way that they played, and obviously our fans were coming out and supporting us. And I see that just continuing to build here as the season goes on.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a magical time with this team. And even though we had the pause, the excitement around Colorado State basketball has not died down. Last thing for you, Coach. I know Colorado State men's hoops are supporting the relief effort with American Red Cross of Wyoming and Colorado in conjunction with the fires, too. And I know that's just such a difficult time last week where, again, you don't want to say puts things into perspective, but everyone, the state of Colorado, the country, so terrified for what could be and what, of course, did happen with those homes and those neighborhoods. And I just I wanted to point that out because of Colorado State. State teaming up with Red Cross. Obviously, it's something that's just such a big deal.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It's almost incomprehensible to just watch, you know, what happened last week and, you know, our friends and neighbors and all the people affected by the Marshall Fire. And so I'm really thankful that we're doing that. I really encourage people to support in any way that they can. And hopefully that'll be a great thing for us tonight, that we're able to get back and play basketball and have an opportunity for us to come out and support a great cause and, again, support our friends and neighbors. And I'm just looking forward to a great night. And I really hope people really take the time and hopefully consider supporting a great cause.
Yeah, so. No question about it. We'll be sure to re-up that information in the second hour. Coach, again, can't thank you enough for jumping. I know you're a little busy. You got a big one tonight against Air Force, and we're looking forward to it. But we just appreciate any time we can get you on this show is a welcome time. So we appreciate it.
Brady, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you you covering CSU and Northern Colorado sports the way that you do.
All right, Coach, go get them tonight. Good luck against Air Force.
Thank you.
All right, that's Coach Nico Medved of the Colorado State Rams. They have not played since December 11th. That was against Mississippi State. Going up against Air Force tonight, they have some spark plugs on this team. Air Force was picked to finish last in the Mountain West Conference. They beat Utah State, so that's got to be something pretty special for them. They're a young team, and a lot of times what you worry about with young teams is that the stage is already big to them because they're freshmen, so they're playing on big stages every night. The stage doesn't necessarily get bigger just because you're going up against the top 25 team. However, Air Force they haven't really beat anybody like over their years. I think they're like four wins or something against ranked opponents. So if there's a team that will, you know, be okay with the layoff and find a way to just bounce right back, it's Colorado State. And moving up a couple of spots since the last time they played, hey, you'll take it. 50 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get into more Broncos talk, more CSU Air Force as well, what to expect from the Falcons tonight. Also, the NFL standings, we'll get into that, the playoff standings. Some interesting stuff. Even though the Broncos are out, even though your Dolphins are out, Angel, there's still a lot to be figured out this weekend. We'll talk about it next.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
This song is called I Stand Alone by Godsmack, right? Is this Nikola Jokic's new anthem? I mean, every time he's, like, dominating and nobody else is helping, I always tweet out the picture of Jon Snow fighting the entire army by himself. That's how it feels sometimes with the Joker. I think Coach Medved said we've become numb to these cancellations and postponements. I think we've become numb to just how good Joker is. This guy has been storming onto the scene, and we've been like, whoa, he's getting good, he's getting good, he's always MVP. Now he's having a better season than his MVP season, and yet the Nuggets aren't winning. I mean, they're 500 or so. They're a game over 500. So it's harder for us to look at that, but none of these guys on this team, outside of the Joker, are playing at a high level. Aaron Gordon should be, but he's not. I think we're growing numb to just how great the Joker is.
Yeah, I mean, it's when the team is not... They're not blowing away expectations. They're not doing terribly. They're just sitting at 500, and Jokic is the constant.
Which isn't bad, because I had a feeling, okay, if this team can hover around 500 until March and then make a push, try to pop into that top five spot or whatever, then we'd be all right. This team would be okay. But my only – and again, that was the idea that Michael Porter Jr. was there – they're maintaining right now. They got the Jazz coming up tomorrow, which maybe we'll give some tickets away too. We got Nuggets, Jazz going at it tomorrow. The game's going to be on ESPN too tomorrow. When I look at the schedule and I think it is going to get easier for this team, but all it's going to take is just this terrible stretch, this terrible stretch where maybe, you know, they went on that stretch in November where they lost like six in a row.
then they haven't had that since. But there is a fear there that they could run into that. Now, how, you know, other than the Jazz, you got Sacramento coming up on Friday, OKC on Sunday, LA on Tuesday, which they've had their issues as well. The Clippers, I should say. Portland's had issues. The Lakers. So outside of the Jazz coming up on Wednesday, you do have a somewhat favorable schedule. Nobody's scared of the Lakers right now. Nobody's scared of the Lakers or the Clippers. Damn sure not the Trailblazers. But all the when I'm going to start pressing the I'm not pressing the panic button right now. I'm not even hovering over it right now. I know the issues. I still think that they might be able to withstand those issues. But all it's going to take is another little falling apart like they did in mid-November, where they have a 5-6-game losing streak, and then they're so far back, they're so far out of the 500 range, that now it's time to play catch-up, and when Jamal Murray comes in, you don't want to be 5-10 games under 500 when, and I'm going to say if, we still don't like have a real timetable for Jamal. So you don't want to be playing desperation catch-up by the time Murray comes back. But my goodness. I mean, what would this team's record be right now? Let's leave Porter out if Jamal Murray was here. They're 18-17. Are they 10 game? Are they 20? Are they 10 games better?
I'd say maybe about 5 or 6 games above that. Maybe about 25 wins.
So what about if it's Jamal and Porter in, and they're both not hurt? Like, Porter's not dealing with a back issue.
Maybe. Not even close to where they're at now.
So they're over almost to 30 wins at this stage?
Oh, I would say less.
Oh, really?
Without Jokic?
No. With a healthy Porter and Jamal Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Joker, if he's gone, doesn't matter if Porter or Murray are there. If Joker's out, this is not even a playoff team. I don't even know if Murray and Porter can hold that up. I really don't. Let's talk about that on the other side. My poll question today, my Method Flow products poll question, what's been the biggest downfall for Vic Fangio this year? I've got my number one thing. We'll talk about it next.